God's Word and open to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible with you, I invite you to use the ones in the back of the pew. It's not going to be the exact same as I'm reading from, but it still will be helpful for you as we always just walk through the passage, and it helps to just to have that open in front of you. So Luke chapter 1, we'll be working through the verses 39 through 45 this morning. And if you, once you're there, I invite you to stand with me in honor of reading God's holy and living word. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Well, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Father, before us now is your holy word. Will you open our hearts to receive it with meekness and joy? And by it, would you lead us to Jesus, to see something more of his glory and grace, and resting on him to enter into the blessed life, the life of joy, the life of joy that we see displayed in our passage this morning. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand the truth of this passage, that you will work in this room this morning, opening our eyes through the power of the Holy Spirit to the realities of who Jesus is, and transform us by the power of your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Christian faith is believing and trusting in the promises of God as they are revealed in the Word of God, and particularly the promises wrapped up in the gospel, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And you can look all through Scripture and find no better example of Christian faith than what we see displayed here with Mary. And as the passage opens, Mary has just received the message from the angel Gabriel, the most astonishing and unimaginable announcement that any human has ever heard, that she was chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what further astounds should be the circumstances, really, of this miracle. Mary is likely to be at the tender age of 12 to 14 years old. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, she is going to conceive and give birth to the long-awaited Messiah, the one sent to redeem his people. And Mary's response to this prophetic announcement was of one of humility and submission. She simply responds by saying in Luke Go to chapter 1, verse 38. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Now Mary didn't ask for a sign, but God gave her one to confirm in her mind that nothing was impossible with God. And that very sign was another conception miracle involving her much older relative, Elizabeth. And Luke's gospel account opens up with these stories of these two miracles, one involving a barren older woman past childbearing age, and the other a young unmarried virgin in her early teens. The first child to Elizabeth was going to be John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. The second would be the Messiah himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in here, in these are these two narratives that come together in Luke's gospel. Here we have this intersection point of the old covenant and the new covenant. Right here in Elizabeth's house, we have John the Baptist, the last prophet of the old covenant, given the privilege to announce that God has finally sent his Messiah, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we have Jesus, the prophet like Moses, who is to come into the world, the last Adam, the true seed of Abraham, David's greater son, who ushers in the new covenant, and who on behalf of his people will conquer once and for all sickness and death. And this is their first meeting, both of them in the wombs of their mom. And when this happens, you would really expect, just by thinking of it, would expect electricity to enter the room, and that's really what happened. And as we look at this passage this morning, I want to help us see what the coming Messiah produces in those who believe in him even before he was born. It's at work in the lives of Mary and Elizabeth and baby John. And there will be two blessings that we're going to see that are uniquely for Mary. And that will lead to one blessing that's open to everyone, including you and me. And so Luke begins by saying that Mary made her way with haste. We see this in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And so Mary wasted no time in setting out to visit her much older cousin Elizabeth. Gabriel had told Mary that Elizabeth was now 6 months pregnant, and Mary could not wait to get there and see Elizabeth. And so now this trip would not have been an easy trip. This was not easy terrain to travel. And Nazareth to the hill country of Judah, just south of Jerusalem, would have been about 100 miles. And so this would have taken her about 3 or 4 days to travel. And that's amazing considering her age. This was not a simple trip. And we can only imagine the excitement that must have filled Mary as she in her heart as she hurried along. What would it be like to finally see Elizabeth pregnant? After for so many years she had longed for a child? What would it be like for Mary to tell Elizabeth that she would be the mother of the Messiah? I mean, if anybody was going to believe Mary's story, it would be Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth had experienced her own miracle from God. As a woman who has been barren and way past the age of bearing children, she is now blessed with a child. So Mary's heart must have been pounded as Elizabeth's house came into view, and as she quickened her pace until finally she arrived at the elderly couple's doorway, Zechariah and Elizabeth. This would have been a surprise visit. Mary was not able to contact them. There was no texting in that day. She would not have been able to make a phone call and say, "Hey, I'm down the road." She would not have been able to overnight a letter to announce that she was coming. Just all of a sudden, she is there at their doorway, a young teenager, and Elizabeth, who is old enough to be her great-grandmother. Two expecting mothers, one beginning her third trimester and the other just a few days pregnant. And this was more just than just two cousins reuniting. This is more than just two cousins who happen to be both expecting a child to come together. It's more than just that. These two women will have a deep communion in God's providence and in the gospel. This is really what unites them. And Luke emphasizes that these women believed the word of God. That these women believed the promises of God. And we're going to see that the climax of this passage is belief. And they've been called to be a part of the fulfillment of the Redeemer coming into the world to save the lost. In verse 40, we see that Mary entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And so when she heard the Messiah is here in the presence of the womb of Mary, before Elizabeth herself could return the greeting, the child in her womb leapt. John responded before Elizabeth was able to respond. Now, this was more than just a baby kicking. It was a leap. It was a leap for joy, an upward vault. The word translated leaped here is to describe skipping, and it's described to describe a lamb or sheep leaping and skipping in a field. The baby leaped in her womb. And so John here, the unborn baby John, responded with enthusiasm, hearing that Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, was going to be born. Now, I don't want to turn this sermon into a sermon on abortion, but I believe this passage has details that will inform us about it. It isn't a passage about abortion. But considering our culture today, I think we have here the first testimony of that John takes place here before he is born, 6 months in the womb, that this child was alive. This was a human being. He was a person. And so often nowadays we hear proponents of abortion argue that it's the woman's choice because it's the woman's body. But we see here that an unborn child in the womb, only 6 months of gestation, it's not the woman's body. This was John. He leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. And we're told later on, he leaped with joy in her body, but not part of her body. Notice that this is his own personal response to Mary's announcement. He is a living human child recognizing the presence of Christ. While this unborn baby is still in his mother's womb, there is this response. And so as a church, I want to encourage us that we cannot be silent on this issue. And so baby John, he leaps with joy. Why did Elizabeth's baby react this way? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First, there was a prophet in her womb. This was who John was. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this was his first prophecy. John was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He was to pave the path, prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And they now had confirmation that the Messiah is in the womb of Mary. And this, he has entered the room. So John the Baptist's ministry was beginning 3 months before he was even born. John's one job was to point to the Messiah, to prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus no sooner gets into the room that John points to the Messiah. There he is. That's him. And in the womb at the very beginning, John leaps at the presence of the one that he would point to the world as the Messiah. He's already fulfilling his role for which he was sent. And so when he leaps with joy in the womb, he is already really preaching to us. One writer said that not yet born, John already prophesies. He's already pointing to the Savior. John the Baptist is the only child ever to use the womb as a pulpit. And John said, there he is. He declared the Messiah had come. Secondly, John leapt because he was overcome with joy. Don't miss that this baby in Elizabeth's womb had not yet drawn his first breath. He is yet to see the light of day. But yet he experienced joyous delight when his Messiah is present. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. He is full of joy because he is in the presence of the one who brings true joy. Even in his mother's womb, John was a prophet full of joy, pointing to the Messiah. And in response to the one who would be used to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord, he prepared his own mother. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, declares this to be more than just a visit from Cousin Mary. It was a visitation from her long-awaited Messiah. And it causes her to burst forth with song. Look at verse 42. Filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth affirms here Mary's secret. Notice that Jesus is the ultimate focus of her song. Mary is especially blessed because of the child she bears, because of the fruit of her womb. The Lord Jesus is the blessed one. He is the source of the blessing. We are blessed in Jesus Christ, the blessed one. And so for the rest of the time, through verses 42 through 45, Elizabeth is alive with joy and peace and adoration of God and His truth. When Elizabeth pronounces this word of blessing, she does it with extraordinary humility and with great joy. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So even though Elizabeth had her own miracle of God opening her barren womb, what consumes her when Mary walks into the door is the overwhelming joy of God fulfilling His promise and sending the long-awaited Messiah. This is all about Christ. This is all about Jesus. She knows that this is her Messiah's mother, and she is humbled to the point that all she can focus on was him. As great as Elizabeth's big news was about the birth of John, never had there been news as big as Mary's big news. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And although Elizabeth had already knows from the angel's words to her husband Zechariah back in verses 13 through 17 that her son is going to be great before the Lord, filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, and will turn many children of Israel to the Lord their God. Knowing this about her child, you would think that she would want to brag about her child, but instead she gladly takes the back seat. Elizabeth happily takes a support role with great joy. She steps out of the limelight so that the spotlight might fall on Mary's child, on Mary's boy. It is like mother, like son. In John 3:30, speaking about the Lord Jesus and his ministry, John the Baptist would say, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And so Elizabeth, his mother, shared the same humble attitude in this very moment. Elizabeth considers it an honor to be part of these events. And with great humility, she says, "Why am I so favored?" And the child in Mary's womb is just days or weeks at most old. Tiny life that's undetectable. Mary has not even been able to go for a 6-week ultrasound yet. No visible sign of her being pregnant. And already Elizabeth acknowledges, with no visible evidence other than the promises of God, that this is my Lord. That's my God. That is my Master. That is my Savior. That is my Messiah. He's come into the room, and her focus is not on self. Her focus is on the Lord, and she does it with great joy. And so Elizabeth acknowledged that the life growing inside of her and Mary was exactly what the angel had promised, what he had spoken. Mary heard Elizabeth cry with a loud voice. And she heard her cry, first of all, two wonderful blessings, and we see this in verse 42 again, that confirmed all that God had promised and spoke through the angel Gabriel. Look at it again with me, verse 42. Two blessings. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now these blessings are unique to Mary. She is the only one who has ever lived to have this privilege. She is the most blessed among women. And it's really the third blessing that's the climax of our story. And where we find that Mary is a wonderful example to us all. Look at this, Elizabeth's final word of blessing. It's actually quite different than the two in verse 42. Verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed." Blessed is she who believed. The focus of the final blessing is really to Mary is her faith. It was made clear that Mary had complete confidence that God will bring to pass everything that he revealed. We've already seen evidence of this. Her words to the angel in verse 38, for example, that "Let it be to me according to your word." We see that she has faith in the word of God there. But then the fact that she is even standing in Elizabeth's home, that's even more evidence of her faith, because she actually acted on this word that she heard. She rushed to the side of Elizabeth to see the fulfillment of God's word as revealed by the angel. And so Luke clarifies that the ultimate blessing Mary has received is wrapped up in the fact that she, by faith, believed the word of God. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This is actually what brings the greater blessing to all. If you want the greatest blessing of Christmas, you need to believe what God has said in His Word. You need to believe what He has said and who Jesus is and what He came to do. This young girl, barely above the age of a child, believed God's Word. Blessed is she who believed. But look a little bit closer. I want you to catch what's different about this blessing in verse 45 from the other two in verse 42. And I'm going to give you three reasons why I believe that what's happening here is focusing on something that we need to understand about Mary and her being an example for us. First, notice the difference of the blessing, the use of the word blessing. Notice what Elizabeth says in verse 45. Blessed is she who believed. Rather than the direct address of in verse 42, where Elizabeth is saying, blessed are you. In fact, Elizabeth uses a different word in verse 45. Here for blessing, than she used in verse 42. Here in verse 45, she says, it's the truly happy life, the ultimate blessed life, the life of a right standing and of fullness of favor in the sight of God. Here's where it comes from. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This is a more generalized blessing that says, blessed is she who believed. This expression makes it Mary an example of faith for us. What Luke is doing here is he's setting forth Mary as an example for all of us to see what genuine faith looks like and how any one of us who follows Mary's example can receive the same blessing. The first two blessings are for Mary alone. She is the most blessed among women, and the fruit of her womb is the one and only Son of God. But the third blessing is available to everyone. Any man, woman, or child who responds like Mary and believes in God's promise found in Christ Jesus. The final blessing is available to everyone. And so it's in that way that Mary is an example to all mankind, to all of us. So the first reason is the way that Elizabeth uses the word blessing. It shifts in this way that refers to one who believes, to anyone who believes is blessed by this. A second reason would be the immediate context of this story in Zechariah. An angel appeared to Zechariah, and he was told that John was going to be born. And unlike Mary, Zechariah did not believe. And so Mary really is contrasted with Zechariah here in the immediate context that Mary is blessed because she believes. If you look at verses 19 through 20 of chapter 1 of Luke, the angel had come and spoke to Zechariah, and the angel, and then We see that verse 18, Zechariah responded to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And so now if you turn back to our verse 45, listen to the contrast there. "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And so Zechariah had a temporary judgment placed upon him because his lack of faith, because his lack of belief in what the Lord had said to him. And so it's contrasted with what's going on with Mary. Who knows that Mary and Elizabeth are having this conversation right there in Zechariah's home, right? So Zechariah is probably listening to this as Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who believed." Kind of elbowing Zechariah there. "See, you should have believed. You'd be talking about now." Who knows? And then there's a third reason that I would say that this, there's a theme of obeying God's word and responding to it in faith, is contrasting the physical relationship with Christ not being as great as the spiritual relationship. Having this physical relationship with Christ is not as great as the spiritual relationship with Christ. And this theme becomes used throughout the Gospel of Luke several times involving Mary. I want to just give you a couple of areas and then just be able to explain this. Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. Listen to what it says. "Then his being Jesus and mother, Mary, then his mother and his brothers came to him. But they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" And later on in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, as Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, and these words sound a lot like what Elizabeth was crying out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, he responded to her, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Brothers and sisters, he is not putting down Mary here. This is not a passage that demeans Mary's role as the mother of Jesus. But Luke wants us to understand the greater blessing of a spiritual relationship with the Savior is far more important than the physical. Mary was blessed in a way that nobody else in all of history will ever be blessed. But there was a far greater blessing that Mary received because she believed. And that's available to everyone. And by the way, this goes against our Catholic friends who say that Mary never sinned. If you go on to the next verses and see Mary's song, you will see her praise the fact that her Savior is there. She needed saving. And here she is blessed because she believed. And this is good news. Luke wants us to see the greatest blessing to Mary was not being the physical mother of Jesus, but by placing her faith in Jesus to believe in Jesus, to believe the promise of Jesus. This was the greatest blessing. And so Mary here serves as an example of the blessing that comes upon those who believe the Word of God. So think about, for just a moment, the wonderful example of Mary's faith. It's more than just an intellectual belief. It certainly started there. Mary believed intellectually with her mind what Gabriel said. She believed that the virgin birth was possible because nothing is impossible with God. But beyond that, just like all saving faith does, she entrusted her whole life to God's promise. She submitted to the Lordship of Christ and said, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This was full submission of what God said. But that wasn't all. As we see in the narrative, her belief led to action. If you really believe, you will act. And that's what she did. She wasted no time heading to Elizabeth's home. Her very presence in Elizabeth's home is evidence that she believed what the Lord had said. And she not only believed in the virgin conception, but she went to her cousin who was pregnant with her own miracle child. So you see, there's so much foreshadowing in this passage. What the Lord Jesus will bring to all of those who receive Him as their Messiah. The fulfillment of the incarnation had just barely begun, yet the work of the Messiah had kicked into full gear in the lives of Elizabeth and the lives of Mary and the baby John. Do you want to know what saving faith looks like? Mary's great example is a great example to compare yourself to. Do you see these things evidence in your life? It begins with, you have to believe in the gospel. What God has revealed about the person of Christ. Remember, the ultimate focus of this entire passage is upon Jesus. The Christian faith has its focus upon Christ as the promised deliverer sent by God to redeem His people from their sins. And so we're reminded who Jesus is even in this passage. That He is Lord, that He is the Messiah, that He is Savior. All of this is borne witness to us just in the words of Elizabeth and in the response of John, in their actions as they respond to Mary coming into the room. Have you come to embrace Jesus for who He is? Do you believe the gospel? And then have you humbled your heart to say, "This is my Lord. This is my God. This is my Savior"? Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came to die on the cross for your sins? That He paid the price for your sins with His blood? That if you come to Jesus, that God will forgive you? And He's satisfied with the death of Christ? Do you believe that He rose again, as God's Word says? That He defeated death and that so that you can receive eternal life? These are the intellectual facts of the gospel. But just like Mary, there's more than just this intellectual side. What does a genuine response to Jesus look like? Those who truly received Him as their Messiah displayed certain characteristics in this story. Those who believe in the Messiah are moved to action. We see this in Mary. True faith results in a life of obedience. That is what the Messiah will bring to all who believe. You can't just say, well, I believe in Jesus and I believe his word, and then not be obedient to him. And like Elizabeth, the Messiah brings humility to those who believe. There's a realization of personal unworthiness. Personal unworthiness that Jesus would even visit us in our sinful condition. If you have never felt unworthy of the gospel, then you truly do not understand the gospel. Knowing we are unworthy brings about an adoration and a love for Jesus. Because we know that he is our Savior and that he provides us with what we need. He produces humility where we are people who are not consumed with ourselves, but we are overwhelmed with our Lord. Everything in our life refocuses itself to center around the Messiah and his purposes. We are people filled with joy because we know that though we are unworthy, Christ forgives us. If we come to Jesus for salvation, he will give us joy. Genuine believers are filled with joy because they are not defined by their circumstances, not defined by even their past sins. They are defined by the love and the forgiveness that they receive in their Savior. Do you find yourself filled with joy? This is what the Messiah produces. He produces belief in the facts of the gospel. He produces action in the lives of the people. He produces humility because we see ourselves as undeserving of his grace. But it all ends in joy. Because we know that this Messiah has come to save sinners like you and me. What brings you joy Christmas season? Hopefully more than just all the festivities. Because once the tree comes down and the lights are put away, that kind of joy is just a memory. It's temporary. But the salvation we have received from Christ, it brings everlasting joy. Joy is not in the season. Joy is in the Savior. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your word. Now may we respond to it by your grace. May you help us to understand what we've heard in your word this morning. We need you to transform our lives like you did the life of Mary and Elizabeth and John. Lord Jesus, you have entered the world. Would you now, by your grace, enter our hearts if we have not yet received you as Lord and Savior? May we respond to the message of the gospel. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we respond to God's word?